as we head towards Shavuos. So I thought it was important for us to spend a couple of weeks thinking about Torah itself. We learn so much Torah, and we try to understand Hashem's wisdom. But what about Torah itself? Take a step back. What is Torah? What unique aspects are there to Torah that we don't see anywhere else in any other mitzvah, in really just anything else in the world? So I chose four different topics that we'll discuss over the next couple of weeks. And the first topic which I want to talk about is the unique power and impact of Torah. I'll share a couple of stories. The first is that when my first semester in YU, this was in 2012, so there was Hurricane Sandy, which was a devastating hurricane. Unfortunately, many people died, and especially in the Five Towns area in New York, there were many homes that were destroyed, unfortunately shuls that were destroyed, and they sent a busload of Talmidim from YU to, I remember we went to Bell Harbor, New York, on a Sunday morning, and we were going to help clean up. That's what we were going to do. We were going to go through homes, unfortunately go through shuls, and just clean up, see what we could salvage, and everything else throw out. So we got there. I even remember it was like a scene out of a movie when we got there. It was quiet. There were piles and piles of sand and garbage, and it was eerie. It really was a very interesting experience. And I remember we went to people's basements and we were cleaning out garbage, and everything was so sopping wet and smelled, and it really was not a good situation. It was very sad for those families who lived there for years. And the last part of the trip was to go to a shul. And this is obviously going to be very, very sad. Baruch Hashem, the main floor was not destroyed, so the Sefer Torahs were totally safe, but the basement of the shul was totally destroyed. We went in, there was still water a couple of inches up, and it smelled, and it was dark, and we had to start cleaning up. So there were books and books, farm and English books, and there's a lot down there to go through to see if there's anything we could salvage, and most things got thrown out. As we were leaving, so I happened to notice that on the back wall of one of the rooms, or maybe it was even in the hallway, there was a huge sign. It looks like it was painted by some young kids at some youth event, and must have been there for a long time. Unfortunately, that also was destroyed, but I did see what it said there. And what it said, when I read it, I said to myself, wow, Hashem is sending me a sign here. What did it say? It said, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. Ein Mayim Ela Torah. And to me, the message I took from that was that we saw here a hurricane where water had the power and had the impact to destroy so much. It got into every nook and cranny. It destroyed everything in its path. Ein Mayim Ela Torah. We have to realize the power and the impact that Torah can have, both on our individual lives, on our community's lives, and on a national level. Ein Mayim Ela Torah. The power that Torah has, in a positive sense, obviously, to overtake a person, to transform a person, to change a person. We need to realize this unique power in Torah that we do not find anywhere else. Another story, not as serious, but I remember it was July 4th when I was home in Englewood, New Jersey, and us being me and my family, we went to watch fireworks. And I remember seeing, we all know when we hear fireworks, we see fireworks, everyone is so attracted to looking at the fireworks and to looking and watching them and to seeing their beauty. And I remember sitting there, and there were hundreds of people there. And as each firework went off in the sky, so everyone is so excited, so happy, and staring and looking and not being distracted on their phones, just totally focused on the fireworks. And if we just apply that to Torah for a second, that's what Torah should have. The effect that Torah should have on our life is that Torah should overtake us in a way that we're so attracted to it, and we just want to look at it and study it and focus on it. So let's talk a little bit about Torah. Why is it so powerful? What does the power do? So just to start off, Zerach Hashem has in two places where he discusses Talmud Torah, and what he says is that Hashem is the ultimate good. And Hashem wants to give us the ultimate good, which is giving up of Himself. If He's the ultimate good, that means giving of Himself. But He wants it to influence this world in the highest and the holiest way possible. Himself. He wanted to give of Himself. However, Hashem can't give literally of Himself. So what He did was He had a book, and the book is called the Torah. And it's through the Torah that a person is able to receive this Shefa Eloki, this influence from Shemayim that can transform a person and change a person, and not just transform you. When a person learns Torah, they're not just transforming themselves, they're transforming the entire world. And that's why Torah is and should be so powerful, because what we're doing is we're bringing God's presence into this world. Every Gemara that we learn, every pasuk that we read, there's more Hashem in this world. And that's why Torah is so powerful. Torah is powerful because every time we connect to Torah, every time we learn Torah, every time we open up a sefer, we're bringing Hashem's presence, more of Hashem's presence into this world, and it's bringing down the Shefa Eloki, the highest level of Shefa Eloki, the highest level of God Himself into this world. The Medrash actually tells us in Parshas Truma that, and the pasuk says, "V'yikuli truma," take for yourselves a truma, to donations to the Beis Hamikdash. So the Medrash quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, as we all know from davening, "Kilekach tov nasati lachem torasi al tazova." I've given you a great gift. It's my Torah. Don't leave it. And the famous Medrash, the Medrash tells us that, do you ever have a mekach? Do you ever have something that you sell, something that you buy, where the person who created it is also sold with the item? Right, imagine you go to a store and you want to buy some vegetables. So you buy the vegetables, the guy comes home with you, the owner of the store. It never happens. It says the Medrash, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Yisrael, Macharti Lachem Torasi, when I sold you my Torah, when I gave you my Torah on Har Sinai, Kaviyachol Tezef Nimkarti Ima, Shneamar V'yikhuli Truma. It says, if I was sold with it, means when you study the Torah, you're studying me. And the Medrash goes on to give a mashal of a king who doesn't want his only daughter to go off. He's sad, she's going to get married, but obviously he can't prevent her from getting married. So he says, always remember me. Always remember me, even as you go so far, wherever you go. Try to build something, try to create something that stays with you so that you always remember me. That's so too Hashem says to Klal Yisrael. Now, Santi Lechem is the Torah. I want to give you Torah. Lefrosh mihemena iniyachol. I can't leave the Torah. Lomar lachem al tetluo iniyachol. But I also can't tell you not to take it. Build for me a house. Build for me a mishkan. Build for me a beis hamikdash. That's where I will be, so I can be with you and with the Torah. Another point about the power of Torah. There's a great mashal which the Chavetz Chaim brings in his sefer Torah Savayis, and I also heard of Vincent Kaplan also give a similar mashal. I'll give both mashalim. The one that Chavetz Chaim brings is, and I'll. He obviously didn't say it in this way, but imagine you have two friends who are working in a summer camp. One is a lifeguard and one is a counselor. And they both come back to the bunk one night, 10:30, 11, and they're talking about their day. Oh, these kids weren't listening to me, and I hit a great shot in the staff game, and this guy's telling how it was a beautiful day in the lake. And then the lifeguard tells his friend, you should just know that today was one of the most, I would say amazing, just one of the most crazy days of my life. It was really scary. There was a boy who was in the water, and he started, couldn't breathe. He started drowning. He was going under, couldn't bring himself up. And I jumped in, and it was clear that I saved his life. If I hadn't jumped in at that moment, if I didn't see him over there, unfortunately, we don't know what would be with this kid right now. And today was one of the most, it was crazy to think that I had to actually, a lifeguard never thinks that I'll ever have to actually jump in, but I had to jump in. I saved his life. How was your day? He says to his friend. And he says, you know what? Tonight, night seder, I'm a counselor during the day, and at night I try to learn. Night seder ended at 10 o'clock. And I'll tell you the most amazing thing that happened for me at 10 o'clock. I decided to learn an extra half hour. From 10 to 10:30, I said, you know what? Instead of going out to do this and that, tonight I'm going to stay in the basement and learn, do a chazara, learn an extra parak and Tanakh, learn a little bit more. Most amazing thing ever. So if you have someone on the side watching this conversation, who would you say had a much more impactful day, obviously, to the person who saved the life? Yehuda Chavetz Chaim tells us, based on the Gemara Megillah, that learning Torah, Talmud Torah, is greater than Hatzalas Nefashos. The Gemara says that the impact that Torah can have on this world is way greater, is so much greater, than any life that could be saved. Now, yes, obviously, if Chas Hashem, someone is drowning in front of you, you jump in and throw your sefer to the side. But the idea is that, yeah, we would understand how impactful saving someone's life could be, but we have to start understanding that Torah is just as impactful, and as the Gemara says, even more impactful. The mashal I heard from Nissen Kaplan is, imagine you have a husband
who normally learns every night until, let's say, 10 o'clock. And his wife's always excited to see him, 10 o'clock, she's waiting, 10:05, 10:10, or maybe there's a little traffic, 10:15, 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30, he's not home. Finally, he comes home at 12 o'clock, and she's so upset. I usually come home at 10, he came home 2 hours late, at least call me, tell me where you are. And he says, listen, I understand that you're upset, let me explain to you what happened. Tells a story that as he was leaving the base measures at 10 o'clock, he witnessed a car crash, and a car crashed into a person, and the person who crashed into the person sped away, a hit and run. And I saw this person on the floor, gushing blood. It was dark at night, no lights in the streets, and to be honest, he said to his wife, I wasn't there to take action, this person would have died. It was clear. There was no one there. No one had seen him. No one had seen him for hours. And right away, I called Hatzala. Hatzala came. They picked him up. And you know, I helped out a little bit. He went to the hospital, and Baruch Hashem, he's going to be okay. And his wife's like, wow, that's what you did? Okay, obviously, totally fine. A second later, he turns to his wife and says, honey, I usually don't lie to you, but I didn't tell you the truth. The truth is that tonight, I decided to learn an extra 2 hours of the base medrash. And obviously she goes off on him, and she's not so happy with him. And Nissen explained that if someone can understand, that we can understand, that saving a life is, wow, you save someone's life, of course you could push it off. To learn an extra half hour has just as much, if not way more, of an impact on this world. Now yes, in terms of Shalom Bayis issues, you could speak to your own Rebbe about that. But we have to start appreciating how impactful Torah is to the world. The Yerushalmi in Peah, in the beginning, talks about different mitzvos and their rewards. As we all know, we say it every day. And when the Yerushalmi speaks on Talmud Torah, so the Yerushalmi says as follows. There's a machlokas. Afilu kol ha-chadamar, afilu kol ha-olam kulo eino shavel dar echa shatorah. There is nothing in this world that compares to even one moment of Torah. The other opinion of Chad Amar, Afilu kol mitzvos se'asher Torah, even the mitzvos themselves, Inan shavos ledavar echa min haTorah. Obviously, they're going on Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Talmud Torah takes precedence and is way greater than everything, much greater than everything in this world. There's an interesting Gemara at the end of Maseches Gittin, where the Gemara tells us the following: Zandaf peiches amid alaf. Darash Marimar, my dechtiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says Vayishkod Hashem al hara'a Vayivyeha aleinu ki tzadik Hashem elokeinu? That Hashem brought the ra'a, he brought this ra'a much quicker to us. The ra'a here is talking about the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. So the Gemara asks, Mishum ditzadik Hashem elokeinu Vayishkod Hashem al hara'a Vayivyeha aleinu? What? Because of Kadosh Baruch Hu is a tzadik, therefore he brought on this tragedy much earlier than it was supposed to be. How could he be called a tzaddik? And would you rather have a tragedy now or a tragedy in 2 hours? Obviously, you'd rather push it off. Says the Gemara, Ela tzedakah asakash baruch hu. What did he do? What was the tzedakah? What was the righteousness he did in Israel? Shehigla galos tzidkiyahu. That he exiled the galos of tzidkiyahu, which was the final galos, the burning of the beast of Mikdash. Vadayin galos yechonya kayemes. And the Galus of Yechonia, which was before the Galus of Tzidkiyahu, was still around. What does that mean? So Rashi tells us that the Galus of Yechonia was 11 years earlier, and the tzedakah that Hashem did in order to, by destroying the Beis HaMikdash earlier, so I'll read Rashi. Rashi says, Kedei lehaglos doro shel Tzidkiyahu lebavel, in order to bring the generation of Tzidkiyahu to Galus, Lebavel in Bavel, Be'or Shechachmei Galus Yechonia Kayamim, while the Chachamim of Yechonia were still alive, Sheyomadu Torah Le'ilu Hagolim Acharehim. You notice that those people who are in Galus right now in Bavel can learn Torah. Wow. The first base of Midrash was destroyed earlier than it was supposed to be destroyed, just so that the people who were already in Galus, from the Galus of Yechonia, Yehoyachin, that they could learn more Torah. Realize the power of Torah, the fact that Hashem is willing to destroy Beis HaMikdash, which is His presence really in this world, just in order so that people in Galus can learn a little bit more Torah. They tell a great story of the Beis Yosef, of Yosef Karo, that every single day he would learn generally with his tefillin on. Put his tefillin on in the morning for chakras, and then he'd learn with them the entire day. And one day, as he's learning, late afternoon, the straps of his tefillin tore somehow. Yeah, maybe he closed the door and they broke, or sitting down and they got caught under a chair, and he was distraught. Is there his tefillin, special tefillin, who's so upset? Listen to this. That night he has a dream. And in the dream, Malach, something comes to him and tells him, Rav Yosef, if you only knew how much tzar there was in Shemayim, every time you stopped learning, there would be no room left in your heart to have tzar for your tefillin breaking. Amazing. If a person recognizes how every second of Torah study is precious, so that would take up your entire heart, says this Malach to Beis Yosef. And this is why we see often how families are willing to give up everything just for their children to study Torah. There's a story of Moshe Feinstein. They say that as a child he was an Eloi, which makes a lot of sense, and the family though didn't have enough money to pay for a Malamed, someone to teach him, and this was important to them. Their son clearly has skills, he's going to be a great leader hopefully, and what are we supposed to do? So the story goes that the whole family fasted once a week and used the money from that day of not buying any food in order to pay for a Malamed, which is unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh. And look what it obviously it led to, Moshe Feinstein. But this is why families are willing to Moser Nefesh for Torah, because the power and the impact of Torah is so great. Going back to this idea of not even wasting a moment of Torah because of its power, there's a famous story of the Leshem. The Leshem was of Shlomo Yashiv, one of the great Kabbalists of the last century. He lived in the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s, and he had a daughter, and the daughter's name was Chaya. And unfortunately, she and her husband could not have children, and they traveled to Vienna to one of the greatest doctors of their time, and he claimed that he could help. So they traveled far away to Vienna, and when they went to the doctor, she and her husband, so he checked them out, and he realized at the end of the day that unfortunately we can't help you. There really is no help here, and you have to find other ways in this world to contribute, but you're never going to have children. And obviously she was totally distraught, totally broken. And so they travel back home, and she's still distraught, she's broken, and she's crying outside of her house, in front of Rav Shlomo Yashiv's house. And the father hears crying of someone. Who's crying? And he goes outside and he sees that it's his daughter Chaya. And he says, first of all, why are you crying? Why are you crying outside? You can come inside to your house. This is your house. And she said that I was nervous that my crying would interrupt you even for 1 second. And if I came into the house and cried in the house, you would stop learning. So I wanted to make sure to stand outside in order not to disrupt your learning. And said Shlomo Yashiv, the Leshem, he said, you are in so much pain right now, and yet, even in your pain, you're thinking about not wasting a second of Torah, saving 1 second of Bithel Torah. He says, in that zechus, in that merit, you're going to receive not just a son, but a very special son, and as we all know, that son grew up to be Rav Yashiv, Rav Yosef Shlomo Yashiv that we all know. So he was born, Rav Yashiv was born from this appreciation of the power and the impact of even one moment of Torah. And finally, just two, I think, pretty well-known sources, and that is the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh in Parshas Kisavo tells us as follows. When the Torah says Tov, so the Gemara tells us, what does Tov mean? In Tov El HaTorah. And Or HaChaim says, She'im hayu b'nei adam margishim. If people would feel the Mesikos V'arevos to HaTorah, the sweetness, the pleasantness of Torah, Hayu mishtagin, they would go crazy, umislatim achra, and they'd just run after it. Lo yichashev beinehem, melo olam kesev ezav leuma, and the physical things that we have in this world, money, and everything that we have would be nothing to them. Why? Ki haTorah kolelas kol haTorah she'olam, because Torah includes all good in this world. That's the idea. Torah is this all-encompassing good, this all-encompassing tov. Kilekach tov nasati lachem. We have to recognize that. And finally, kind of just getting back to the beginning in terms of why is Torah so powerful? What is it? What is it really supposed to do? So there's a Bach. The Bach tells us in Siman Mem Zayin, the halachos of Berachos HaTorah, where we know the Gemara tells us that Hashem got very upset that we didn't say Berachos HaTorah, and that led to destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And everyone wants to know what was so bad about not saying Berachos HaTorah. And here the Bach presents to us, I think, by the most basic understanding as to why we study Torah and why it's impactful. And he says, why did we have Torah? I'll quote, "Kidei shetitatzim nishmasenu ba'atzmus v'ruchnius v'kedushas v'mekor motzei ha-Torah." Period. That we should be connected in the most serious way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah. V'lachin nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to him. V'lachin nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah Emes Yisrael b'matana shel tishtakach mitanu. Why? Kidei shetistabik nishmasenu v'gufinu b'ramach v'rim. To connect ourselves to Him. What will we be if we study? If we had this in mind, the Torah would literally be inside of us. That we'd be a Merkava, we'd be a chariot for Torah. When a person walks around with Torah, be a different person, be a different world if we had all people studying Torah seriously and carrying that Torah around. This will conclude our first installment here of the different unique aspects of Torah. But hopefully we have gained a little bit of a greater appreciation as to what Torah is and the power that Torah is, the Shefa Eloki that we bring into this world by studying Torah, by teaching Torah, by learning Torah. And that as we approach Shavuos night, wow, you know what we could do a whole Shavuos night? Learn Torah? Not just doing a mitzvah. No, we're learning Torah. So holy, so special, bringing the Shefa Eloki into this world.